Tom Kissingberry here. Nah, I'm just kidding. We don't have Tom Kissingberry money. It's just me, Peter Howard, and Jake Anderson meeting at the Dynasty Crossroads once a week for 30 minutes to talk about one player at a time. We look at the film with Jake, we talk about the analytics with me, and we try to come to a consensus. We do have a pretty cool theme song, though.
Peter crunches numbers, and Jake just grinds that tape. Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade addicts pie, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
Do I say it?
You do, yeah.
I am John Paul Hurley, and I definitely have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 142 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and we will. I am here on my brand new mic that, if you listen to last episode, replaced the... It's weird. Like, I was talking all nice and, like, this microphone made curse words. Like, I wasn't saying them out loud. They came from the mic, I swear. It wasn't me.
Yeah, I didn't hear any curse words last week.
Yeah, right? Like, I'm talking to Rocky and it was just weird, right? Like, I don't get it. Okay. But, yay! Super Wild Card Weekend is here. And I was just telling these guys before, I didn't watch an ounce of it. So first, I'm kind of curious. First, did you feel any difference in there being an extra game, either watching-wise or quality-wise? Are like the old fogies who are screaming, you can add teams, like were they right?
I didn't think so. I mean, I thought it was a pretty... I mean, Sunday's games weren't as good, but I mean, overall, the weekend I thought went pretty well, and the game on Sunday night was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I didn't actually get to see a lot yesterday either because I tweeted this out. I was waiting for a refrigerator all day, and it was told that got the old they're coming between 8 and 12, and then they showed up at 4:45. So I was dealing with them a lot. But overall, the whole weekend, I thought I enjoyed a lot of the games. So I like having the extra two games. I thought it went great, and we're going to talk about another little difference later too.
Hey, what about you, JP?
Yeah, I agree, man. This is my favorite time of year to watch football. It's because all the pressure's gone, and like you just relax. You don't have to watch players or flip through games. It's the only time during the year that I don't watch the Red Zone channel. And yeah. If you have the Red Zone channel, it builds and creates anxiety. It's a fantasy anxiety.
Yeah,
like on a channel, they should just call it anxiety. So it's actually nice to watch a game, and it seems like super slow paced relative to the Red Zone channel. So it's enjoyable. It's relaxing.
Yeah, kind of thought it was great. And let's jump into real quick at the Casey Kasem and wanted us to talk about Nickelodeon football for a second. Now, I didn't watch, but I, through Twitter, know two things.
Slime
somebody okay. cursed. So, somebody absolutely cursed on a live mic on Nickelodeon.
Somebody rust on a mic?
No, somebody mic'd on a Russ.
Wait. Oh, I got somebody outhouse all over a mic.
There you go. And when they had the field goal post, SpongeBob's face was in there. Like, that's the only two things I know about Nickelodeon football. Did any of you watch the game on Nickelodeon?
I didn't see the whole game, but I saw some of it. And you did not see the slime cannon touchdowns?
I did not see slime. No.
I think that was some people's favorite part. Whenever they scored a touchdown, the whole end zone changed. There's slime cannons in all four corners, and they slime the end zone.
How do you clean that up?
It was digital, Russ.
Oh, that's a little upsetting.
The same way the SpongeBob face was.
Wait, what? It was digital?
Not real?
What?
Oh.
Yeah, man. Sorry to break it to you.
So, the fantasy football season is over, yet we got a lot of news to talk about. So, I want to scroll up on my show sheet to ask the question, is Ben Roethlisberger crying on the sideline signs that he is retiring?
I can go first. I don't think so, man. Like, he's I think, like, shortly after the game, he had a press conference, and somebody again asked him if he was planning on leaving the game, and I believe his response was, like, now is not the time for that. So, like, I just think emotions are running high, and he's crying, and he's I don't think that decision's been made, but I really think that he's returning. The guy's got like two or three or four good years left if you compare him to Tom Brady. So,
oh yeah, because you could do that with anybody, right?
Exactly, because Big Ben probably eats this, like, has the same diet as Tom and takes care of his body the same way, right?
Yeah, he totally looks like it.
Totally looks like it. We'll be calling him Little Ben next year, probably.
I'm with JP, though. I think he's coming back. I'm not sure he definitely should be coming back. I mean, he obviously did not look great yesterday, and it seems like everything they throw seems to be super short now, which is helping the receivers a lot because they're getting tons of short catches. But I don't see any reason he's not coming back. He's talked about retirement before, but I think he kind of. I thought I saw a report that came out that he wasn't coming back. Maybe he didn't. I didn't see any news conferences or anything, but I agree with JP. I think he's coming back at least for one more year.
And do we think that's a good thing? I mean, that's my real question, because I don't know if it was him or his arm, but something looked bad towards the end of the year. And maybe it is that vegan diet he clearly switched to, where, you know, he was rage eating some almonds or something. And he just, that whole offense sort of looked bad, but he did too, I guess, is really, you know, he was a big part of that. So, like, do we feel good about him coming back? Are you, because we always try and say, like, oh, like Rocky, like your classic move, I'm not going to spend early on these quarterbacks. I'm going to wait late and get these old guys. Are you actually going to try and get Ben Roethlisberger on your fantasy football teams?
Well, because of that, I actually have a lot of Ben Roethlisberger on my fantasy football
team. That is fair.
but yeah, I think it's fine. I mean, I don't think there's any reason to be worse than this year. It's not like he's throwing a lot of deep. It doesn't seem like he can throw the deep ball as well anymore, which makes sense given his age and his arm injury last year. So I think they're just going to stick with a lot of what they did this year, which is basically, like I said, tons of short passes, the occasional longer stuff. And I think even this year, he still finished as a QB12. So, I mean, he was a QB, low end QB1. And they've seemed to love to pass the ball a lot as long as Big Ben's the quarterback. So, I actually do still like him as a guy to get. He may not be quite QB12 again, might be more in the 15 ish range. But I definitely think he's a guy that I'm still going to have on a lot of my rosters. And I'm fine with it. I don't see any reason to think he'd be any different. The only worry I have actually is if they draft a running back, because they were not super committed to the running game. I don't think they believed in Connor, and he was hurt a lot of different times. So that would be my biggest worry with Ben in terms of as a startable fantasy asset. But I don't think it's a bad thing. I think he will be a super cheap guy that I will probably be starting on multiple teams.
And plus, short passes means your boy Deontay is getting a lot of catches.
Exactly. Yeah, he's racked up. He gets those like 10 catches for 85 yards, and I'll take those 18 points all day.
He can fix his hands. Wow.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're getting 16 targets and you catch 9 or 10 of them. It works out.
Yeah, as long as you stay in the field, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with Rocky too, Russ. I think Big Ben would be a trade target for me. Like, the best part about him kind of having a down second half of the season is that he becomes much more acquirable. Mm-hmm. And I'd be going out and maybe forcing the buck a little bit and trying to, like, people are going to be selling pretty cheap based on him crying and having a rough. There's only a handful of quarterbacks that could have come back from such a deficit. And mm-hmm. he actually made it slightly entertaining. And I don't think there's a lot of guys out there that could have done that. And I know that a lot of the deficit was his fault. I think the very first snap, the fumble over his head, not his fault. And then there was just a bunch of three and outs, and the Browns just kept scoring. So, like, they're all of a sudden down 28 points. This game's over. And Big Ben, although threw a couple interceptions, more than a couple times too, right? He managed to bring the Steelers back into the game and make it so it was virtually winnable. The defense didn't agree with that, though. So,
okay. So I'm going to have my old man yelling at clouds question right here. Should Juju Smith-Schuster stop dancing on the field and talking trash before games?
It's kind of his thing. I'm like, whatever with it. It seems silly when you lose.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
I mean, you don't get to love the guy because he's young and personable and making TikTok dances and then give him crap for it now. It's like when like Cam Newton, like he got a lot of crap for being the same person, whether he won or lost. And like that, I feel like we're doing the same thing to Juju. Like, who hates Juju Smith-Schuster? Like, who doesn't like this kid, guy, man? It's everyone's younger than I am at this point, but so I call everyone kid, but like he's a grown man.
There's old men complaining about kids dancing on the logos right now.
I mean, that's exactly what it is. And like, I keep reading about it, and I'm like, just shut up, man. Like, what is he not supposed to have fun with the fact that he's playing a freaking game for a living?
Stop having fun.
Seriously, take this game seriously.
I think he's going to be dancing on logos in a different conference next year. What about you guys? Think he's going to be traded? Or I'm sorry, not traded, but I don't think he's going to be picked back up. I think he's
gone. I
don't
think he can be. Again, the cap is a myth, 100%. And that guy's team completely shows it every single year. But yeah, there's no we'll – the Steelers are like – are the Steelers are over the cap already before the cap goes down. And if they do keep Roethlisberger, that's like $40-something million. I'm sure they'll rework it because that's just what they do. Because, again, the cap means absolutely nothing. But he deserves top 5, 10 wide receiver money, and I don't think they're going to be able to pay him that. So I definitely think he's gone.
Yeah, I think he's gone. Everything you hear coming out of Pittsburgh has indicated he's gone. Our boy Harz has said he thinks he's pretty much gone. Oh,
since before this season, he's been saying that, yeah.
Yeah, and there never been one, to pay big for – I mean, I guess they paid for Antonio Brown, but they've often, you know, groomed these wide receivers to let them go elsewhere. You know, we saw Emmanuel Sanders and Mike Wallace and other guys. So I don't think they're going to keep him. Yeah, I think it's just going to be too much money. Like you said, he's going to command a lot. And I don't hate that for my boy Deontay either. So
I was going to say, I've got a question for you guys.
All right.
You guys. So Izzy and I always like to make bets on our podcast. Like, we'll always find like disagreements and conversations that we have. And then it'll just turn into like little fun bets with friends kind of thing. And one of our bets was actually centered around the Pittsburgh Steelers wide receivers. It was shortly after Chase Claypool's 17 touchdown game that he had.
Yeah,
I actually think it was like 28
against the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm not very good at math apparently against the Eagles. And Izzy knew that this type of production wasn't sustainable. Izzy's so smart that he knew that Claypool wasn't going to have 4 touchdowns every game. But I thought that Chase Claypool carved himself out an opportunity within the offense. He gained the trust of Big Ben and offensive coordinator Colin Plays, where he was going to be relevant from week to week, like maybe in flashes. And this was our bet. I bet Izzy that Chase Claypool would be worth at least the 110 when rookie drafts happen. And Izzy thought that he'd be 111 or lower. So I want to see what you guys think. Like, do you think Claypool, between what he's done this season and the possibility of Juju Smith-Schuster leaving the team, do you think that his value will elevate beyond the 110?
Or can I cheat and say this is one quarterback?
Yeah.
Because one quarterback, absolutely.
Yeah, you could. Yeah. Izzy and I, like, I think our bet is premised off of Superflex, but we didn't specify, so.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Take that right, real quick, right now. Hey, Izzy, it's one quarterback.
Yeah, I think your biggest hope is what you said at the end there, that when Juju actually does leave, both Deontay and Claypool should get a bump, and maybe I don't think he's worth the 110 now. Do you, Russ?
I think he is. I think he is personally.
I don't think you can get him for less. That's the real whether he's worth that's it or true. Not. It's you're not true. Getting him for but you're not getting him for the 110 right now. I don't think.
Do you think he's worth paying the 110 for him though?
I'm way too enamored with these young wide receivers to do that, but I would absolutely understand someone who did because we've seen Claypool physically dominate a little bit, like with his size and speed. Like it's not like he's been mossing people all that often, but you know,
he ended on a high note too with two touchdowns.
Yeah. So yeah.
In the playoffs. Yep.
So, I mean, let's think about it. There's the top three quarterbacks. Well, there's at least three quarterbacks, two running backs before you hit this tier of we'll see what's going on. You know, then I would say what? Jamar Chase,
Devontae Smith.
And Rondell Moore. That's the name. I keep going to say DJ Moore. I'm like, no, wrong Moore. I think after that, a lot of things are wide open. There's probably going to be one or two quarterbacks taken just because there's going to be more drafted in the first round of the NFL draft. And that's going to give them value. So right there, I think we're talking about the 108, 109, I think is Chase Claypool territory.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you go, JP.
I think Russ is dead on, too. And there's always after the combine, and there's always like a couple other guys that spike up, you know, unexpectedly. I think like Clyde Edwards-Helaire was one of them. Towards the end of the season, I think his production was in his draft capital, I think, put him up there, too. But I think between the combine and then the NFL draft, there's going to be two or three other guys that you can factor in somewhere in that mix. But if you're drafting a wide receiver at 109, 110, you could only hope to get Chase Claypool's production in 2020 that he got. So I think that's kind of a ringer.
That's what I was going to say when Russ laid it out like that. I mean, you're in that 110 is the big kind of group of wide receivers area. And I'm one of those people. Yeah. I've seen Claypool do it. I haven't seen these guys do it. So yeah, I'm also curious too. How are you determining what he's worth? Like, how do you determine who wins that bet?
Whoever sneaks into the DTC last and changes the value.
Okay.
We use the DLF trade analyzer.
Hey, DLF family podcast. Whoop, whoop.
There you go. Yeah. No, great tool. Everybody always like gives us beef for that and stuff. But I think the right move is to subscribe to them all and then just have multiple resources. That's the right move.
I
use the DLF trade analyzer. It's awesome.
I 100% use both.
Yep.
Where is he at on the calculator now? Do you know?
He is right at the 109.
Okay.
And I'm going to look because that's I'm going off of memory.
If he's already at the 109, I think you're good because I don't think he's going down in the offseason.
Right. And I think maybe losing in the first round helps him because then he can't get injured or have the ball bounce off his head to lose a game or something weird.
We completely skipped over the beginning of my show sheet. And so, like you said, nothing goes straight to the show sheet. So, JP, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell everyone listening who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do.
And by the way, Claypool is like about the 107. Just to wrap that up. I am John Paul Hurley, and I am one of the senior partners for Dynasty Trade Calculator at DynastyTradeCalculator.com, on Twitter at FFDynastyTrades, and you can find me on Twitter at FFHercules, spelled with an H-U. And I could just, do the calculator thing. We're just between me, Izzy Elkafoss, and John Mosier. We're just three dudes that would love to make our dreams a reality in this fantasy football space. It's a lot of fun trying to work it up. So that's me.
Yeah. And I mean, I used DTC years ago when it looked like an Excel spreadsheet.
An Excel spreadsheet. That's why it looked like that.
And the bottom, it rated it like how good of a trader you are. It's like you're the Benjamin Franklin of traders. Everything's fair or something like that.
Yes.
I can't remember exactly what it said.
I want to bring those back.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, you should. Because I giggled every time I saw it.
Yeah, we set up like these crazy rules and formulas based on the amount of value that the trade was gapped. It would serve up a different message and commentary. It was so cool. Like we were so nerdy.
Yep. And hey man, I was all there for it. So if you have an argument, you just say Russ liked that. So that means you got to put it back.
There we go. Maybe we should sell space on the commentary section. So if a trade is bad and it's like Russ tells you that you should be embarrassed and probably quit your dynasty league.
Yes, I will pay for it. I mean, I will absolutely pay money for that to happen.
You already have made an appearance in the calculator, right? You have Outhouse's Mans already. I
was about to say, I still geek out and I still screenshot that it says Outhouse's Mans next to Calvin Ridley.
And no, that's awesome. Are you still on Calvin Ridley?
100%. We have a question from Mosier later on.
Nice.
And the question is, what preseason trades did you make that had the biggest value swing? And one of my answers was going to be buying my man's Calvin Ridley, because, you know, what you bought him for before the season and then what you had to pay for him 3 or 4 weeks in. But we'll talk about that later.
I agree.
How long have you been playing fantasy football?
Fantasy football since the mid-90s, pen and paper. I know you guys have probably had some other quote-unquote dinosaurs on the show before, where the, you know, we always hype up the pen and paper and
yep,
how you earn your stripes writing everything down. And
I am one of
exactly, yeah. I remember having just these the most ridiculous drafts. I think one of the ones that comes to mind, it might have been like 1997. I drafted Scott Mitchell from the Detroit Lions because he just came off of a really hot season, and it was my first overall pick. It was the worst pick of all time, but I was playing the angle of there was a guy that was in our league that was a super Detroit Lions fan, so I was gonna draft Scott Mitchell and then fleece him in a trade. So like my trading experiences started out early. And I was, there you go, exactly. I was already exercising strategies, and I think I got like an incredible haul because I saw the look on his face as soon as I drafted him. He's like, no, like, I don't know. Like if Superflex is the thing now and one quarterback used to be the thing, maybe back then there was like half quarterback or no quarterback or something, but the guy wanted Scott Mitchell. So I traded him and I got everything. So
there you go. Process, baby, the process.
So mid 90s for fantasy and mid 2000, how do you say 2000 zeros? 2000.
The aughts, baby. Oh, yeah.
The aughts. The mid aughts,
If you said the mid 2000s, I think you assume that's 01 to 010, like the
so people wouldn't assume it's 2500, the year 2500. Okay,
what are the 10s to 19 called? The teens,
yes,
2000 teens,
2000 teens.
I guess we don't need to say the 2000 anymore. Like the, you know, turn of the century, having a, you know, reset our mind process here. But yeah like 2005, 2006 for dynasty. I love it. I quit all my redraft leagues probably like 5 or 6 years ago. I can't do it anymore. Outside of the ones for charity, obviously, but.
Yeah, I'm stuck in two just because my friends are on them. Oh, man, I heard a sad story, and I don't remember if it was on a podcast or if it was in reality or not. But someone goes to a bar, and they hold up their driver's license to show their age. And the guy's like, real fast, like, okay, good, you're good. And he's like, how could you have seen that so fast? Oh, I just saw the one in front, so you're good. Because it is now 2021. So yep. If there's a one in front, you are absolutely over 21.
That's true.
Oh, that's scary.
Oh my God, we're old.
I know.
It's also scary that guys that are entering the NFL draft were born in 2000. Doesn't that make you feel awesome?
Oh my God. Yeah. That's insane.
It makes me feel a little better when I call these grown men kids, because they are getting close to being actually half my age. And just,
not that I was ever remotely in that kind of shape, but I was old enough to enter the draft in 2000. So.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Oh no.
And did you enter it?
I turned down some contracts. I just thought it wasn't for me.
You submitted for it. Drafted and said no.
Yeah, I got drafted, but I just thought it wasn't for me. Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't want to make millions of dollars in the NFL.
See, I submitted. I said I was ready, just I never heard back.
There you go. Are you guys one of I'm playing Madden 21 right now, like online franchise, and I just cut at the beginning of a season a tight end who was like a 29 overall. So I wonder oftentimes what I would be ranked on either on the Madden game or in an NFL position. Probably not so good.
Yeah, probably around 29 if I'm lucky.
I was going to say that I would be happy to be a 29 overall at this point. Yeah,
I'll put you in my Madden game and I'll set you guys each at 29s. How about that?
I don't know. Do they rank the water boys in Madden? Is that like the guy that comes out with the Gatorade bottles and squirts them?
There's actually face of the franchise centered around the water, but you can choose the water boy as your position, like superstar. So you can just like do all the water boy stuff and try to get as good as you can.
And I'm telling you.
And like eventually one day make it to the Patriots.
Hey, but you know, one day like I'll go through some real trauma and I'll start to Bobby Boucher everybody.
That would be awesome. What a great story.
The Mud Dogs live on forever. Okay, so clearly you know about trade value, being that you are one of the men behind the Dynasty Trade Calculator. What are some of the best and worst trades you can remember making?
So the key statement that you made there, the key phrase was that I can remember making. So. I'm gonna do my best here. And actually, the funny thing is, one of the best and worst trades in the last year were with you. Like, we made one trade, and at the time, I thought it was the best because I was Trade Addict 7. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my favorite league. I was competing
I'll take it.
There you go. I was competing for like a championship. I early in the season, it was the funniest league. I was trying to flip the team. And I just kept getting lucky matchups and winning. I was 5-0, 6-0, and I was trying to, basically sandbag and reset the team and trade for youth. I didn't get any bites, and they just kept winning and winning. I'm like, stop, this is not working. I ended up going 12-1, and then going into the playoffs, I had a lot of injuries and COVID problems. So I made a trade with Russ to get some depth and try to make a push. And it was Kyler Murray, a 2022 second. And I thought there was a running back in there too. Was there not?
Not just that.
So Kyler in a 2022 second for Miles Sanders, Jared Goff.
That's it.
And that's it. Well, yeah. My memory is better than I thought it was.
Yep.
And this was like Goff was going in. Like he had an excellent matchup in week 15, which was the week 15, I think it was. The second round. Yeah, because I had a bye week.
Yeah, 15 is the second.
Yeah, so week 15, excellent matchup. And I mean, he kind of like ended up being kind of a duck. I got Miles. So like, I thought the trade was good at the time. And now suddenly Goff with his thumb and his piss poor performance, you know, I think a lot of it's to blame in his playoff performance on his thumb, but now his value is kind of like in question. So like this trade might end up being like Goff or, Kyler for Miles, basically when it's all said and done. Because I don't know that Goff is going to be a reliable resource on my team anymore. So,
but let's also give you a little credit. Like this was like we thought Kyler's shoulder was done. Like he had three games of doing very not great.
But I love Kyler. Yeah, my love for Kyler would extend beyond an injured shoulder. So,
all right, then yeah, that was just your fault, and you did a terrible job. And the thing is, like, you offered me Kyler for Goff and Sanders, and I couldn't pull the trigger for some reason. Like, and like it's still. I have faith in Jared Goff, mostly because of the offense he's on. I don't think he's going anywhere.
The offense?
Yeah, and I think as long as you're the quarterback of the Rams offense, you're going to be decent. You're going to be a quarterback 12 to 15-ish, and that's fine for being a QB2 on a team. So, and then Miles Sanders, I like the idea of Miles Sanders, and we'll get to news in a little bit of why I'm going to like him more coming into next year. But, like, so I was just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, but my team's terrible. I should probably do this. And then you're just like, as I'm about to message you, you just message me like, look, I'll throw in a 22 second. Let's just get this done. I'm like, funny story. I was opening Twitter to tell you, give me a 22 second and we'll get this done. And
you know what's funny? This happened to me just on a whim. I don't think it was a strategy. This could be like a trade strategy that we could actually like physically put down like on paper. But, about 3 years ago, I was in a league with Travis May, the DTC Championship League, and we were negotiating on a trade, much like we were Russ on this last Goff one. And towards the end of it, Travis May, am I allowed to say the F-bomb or no? I should probably skip it.
I'd prefer if you didn't, because that means I have to edit it out.
Okay, because it's literally, should I bleep myself then maybe? So it's
even better.
The trade strategy is literally called the F-it strategy, because somewhere in the middle of this negotiation I was having with Travis May, he was like, F it, I'm going to throw in a first. Let's just get this done. I'm like, oh. And for some reason, psychologically, it sounded like such a sweet deal that I couldn't pass it up, you know? So like lately, like by accident or, you know, consciously, I've been actually doing the F it strategy where it's like, you're kind of close. It's like, you know what? F it, I'm going to throw in a third. Let's get this done. And it, like more often than not, people are likely to accept the offer. It's crazy.
You throw in the F it and they think they're getting something extra out of you.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, this guy's giving up, man. He's giving up. I got to take advantage. Like
that. That 22 second made the difference, I tell you. Like, you know.
So now I can't use the strategy on you guys. But anyway, that was the little short story on the F it trade strategy there for you. But
it'll absolutely continue to work on me. Keep doing it.
I agree. And like suddenly I forgot what we were talking about to begin with before going off on that little sidetrack.
All right, so we're just going to move on. Now, is that your guiding principle when it comes to tradings? Just F it?
It is right now. You know, like I feel like dynasty trading, fantasy trading, it's an art form and it's ever changing. Every single year I implore new strategies, and I'm not quite as crazy with like taking notes on each person, like some people are in the industry, where I just don't have the time or the energy to write down specific details on what people do and their behaviors and favorite players and stuff. But
too many leagues.
Yeah. I do. I find myself quickly learning. I'm a quick study, like when I'm discussing things with people, like what types of things they're doing and, you know, the subtle cues they're giving me on text messages. I know that's kind of hard to do, but I feel like I'm always changing, refining what I'm doing. And over the course of the last, what it was, 15 years where I've been playing Dynasty, I'm not the same person, year after year, you know, it's always changing. So I wouldn't say that, my defining skill would be, something, concrete. It's always changing. It's liquid.
Well, I mean, is sort of a guiding principle. It's, you know, don't stay stuck, continue to always grow your process, if you will, or, you know, always be willing to, well, wait, no, this person always did this. Why isn't it working? No, because people change. That means you have to change along with it.
And one of my favorite things is to also have short-term memory loss. So when you make a trade for a player, automatically forget about what you just did, because like next week that player's value could either skyrocket or plummet, and you got to like completely change your opinion of that player or that pick, that asset, instantly, because otherwise you'll find yourself falling behind.
And you just make so many trades, you don't remember the bad ones.
There you go. Exactly. Oh, that's what we were talking about. I've got two more trades I got to throw for best trades and worst trades. I'm sorry. We're jumping all over the place.
I do not care. This is fun. Go for it.
Yeah. So another one of my, this was also this year, and it was my best trade this year and my worst trade this year. All in one trade.
Cool.
So, I'm in a rebuilding type of scenario in one of my leagues, DTC Championship League, and I drafted Jonathan Taylor at, I think, 102. It's a 14-team super flex, so naturally quarterbacks are going high. So I got Jonathan Taylor in my squad. Saquon Barkley gets hurt early season. And Marlon Mack, I think, got hurt around the same time that Saquon Barkley did. So Jonathan Taylor was already crowned as, like, the next thing in Indianapolis. His value skyrocketed. And I moved Jonathan Taylor to acquire Saquon Barkley because I found, like, a great opportunity to sell high, buy low. And over the course of the next several weeks, Jonathan Taylor just like looked like a dud. And I was like, Saquon, and, you know, Saquon's value is slowly restoring as the season went on. And then again, right towards the end of the season, as Jonathan Taylor's performances lift up, now I don't like it as much because I'm on a rebuilding team. I've got I think Saquon's only 23, but still, I've got an injured and oft injured Saquon Barkley, and Jonathan Taylor's value might have once again surpassed Saquon Barkley, just like it did back in week 3 or whatever. So, my favorite trade of the season, and this was the worst also.
It has in DLF ADP.
Yeah. Yep. I'm sorry. I love Jonathan Taylor, but 103 is just sort of crazy.
Yeah,
he is so good.
Yeah, I really do like him, but yeah, I don't think he should be 103. I know he had a strong finish, but that's a lot.
Okay. And then my last one, I got it. This was during the season. This might be my favorite trade of all time in all of Dynasty. And it was a similar type of situation. So after coming off of several really good games, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was already being valued as a top 2 or 3 dynasty running back, mm-hmm. Early in the season. And I have a hard time having all my eggs in a basket like that.
Yeah.
So like I'll oftentimes try to find an opportunity to sell a guy when they peak out like that. Sometimes it works, like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and then, you know, Clyde might turn it around next year. So it might not work, but oftentimes it doesn't with Jonathan Taylor and Saquon Barkley. But this time it did. I traded Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I got to go off memory here, for 3 firsts. One of them was ended up being the 102 in 2021. And one was a later 2021 pick, and one was a 2022 pick. I also got Cortland Sutton, and I also got Kittle. So Sutton, wow. Kittle, and 3 firsts just for Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Wow. Yes, that absolutely should be your best trade ever.
That is insane.
I felt a little guilty for it. It was one of those ones where it's like, should I, you know, but the guy that I got him from knows what he's doing. He's like, you know, he frequently makes it to championship games. He's always in the playoffs. So it's like, you know, I didn't feel bad about it. So
even at Clyde's peak value, that was already, that was an over. I mean,
Ridiculous. Easily. Yeah. If you take one or two of those players off, it's still a pretty even trade even back then.
I thought it was great when I thought it was just going to be the 3 first. And I was like,
I might have said yes to that.
Yeah. And then JP goes, F it, throw in a third and I'll take it.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Throw in a Kittle, I'll take it.
That's awesome. So those are my best and worst trades that I can remember.
That's awesome. Okay, so this is news. this isn't news. let's start with that, because it's not real news yet. But this is, I don't care if it's real. It's fun to talk about, so we're going to. Deshaun Watson seems to want to be traded from the Houston Texans, which I cannot for the life of me blame him, because that team does not seem to care about him at all. Right. And even more fun, Chris Mortensen, I don't remember. I think he used to work at ESPN, or he does, or whatever, regardless.
He still works at ESPN.
Does he? And Deshaun Watson has a no trade clause in his contract, which means he has to approve where he's going. And I don't know where this came from. He said Miami is one of the places Deshaun Watson would be willing to go.
Wow.
So the idea of Tua plus for Deshaun Watson, like, gives me the vapors. Like,
do you, which side do you like?
I don't care. Okay, let's it depends what the plus is. Like, it shouldn't, it's not going to be crazy, because the Dolphins have to pay Deshaun Watson, so that kills the compensation a little bit. But Tua and what, their later first, which is like the 118, like Tua and the 118 for Deshaun Watson, do you not do that if you're rebuilding?
You like, have to.
Yeah, like, I think that'd be a great move for the Texans.
You have to.
I think they're gonna want that 103.
Yes, absolutely, but I don't think you get it. Though so getting Tua and what, Sewell, is that the offensive lineman's name?
Yeah.
Like that would, or even if you're smarter, you continue to trade back and get more picks, because the Texans, I think, lost their first next year also, I think, right? Getting Tunsil, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah. I know Watson's getting paid, but I still think I have a hard time. I mean, you know, you said rebuilding, but I mean, it's not like he's what, 24? So, I mean, they have to pay him and they get an extra pick out of it. But I think they're going to want even more than the 118 to move off of a guy we all know is just a top five quarterback in the league. And Tua could still be a bust. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah. But oh yeah, well, Bill O'Brien's gone, so it's not like he's going to take the crap deal anyway.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Yeah. If it was Bill O'Brien, it'd be like, you know, Watson for two and a third or something.
Okay, so
I think Bill O'Brien might have invented the F it trade strategy, actually, but he's doing it wrong.
We're going to call that the Bob method.
F it, I'll just give you Hopkins. I don't care. What? Okay.
Throw in a second, I'll
F
take it.
I'll give you Hopkins.
Yeah, how about David Johnson? Is he available? Yeah, you can have him. Take him.
F it, throw in a second, and I'll take him.
He's doing it wrong, man. We got to get that guy a subscription to the calculator, I think.
Hey, man, get his email address. I'll pay for it.
It's Bill O'Brien at effit.com.
No, he definitely has like Hotmail or Netscape.
Netscape.
Okay, but actually, I kind of want to bring this. Do you think this maybe getting traded affects Deshaun Watson's dynasty value at all? Like, do you think?
I would say yes in a good way. I like the prospect of him moving and getting a fresh start, having a chip on his shoulder and proving everybody wrong, you know, Deshaun Watson against the world. Whether it's the Miami Dolphins or literally anywhere else, I'd be pretty happy with it. He's kind of lost. And like we've discussed on our podcast a few times, we wonder if some of these free agent wide receivers might find the Houston Texans maybe a sexy place to land if Deshaun Watson stays, because they just lack that big body on the outside. But if Deshaun Watson is wishy-washy, I think this might impact their ability to bring in some high-end free agents, you know? So I think there's a lot of ripple effects with this news, I think, so.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I never really thought of that before, because I never really thought of Houston as a landing spot for free agents. But, like, if Deshaun Watson stays, like, imagine Allen Robinson there. Like that.
Yeah, Juju. I mean, there's so many options. Corey Davis would be cool there. Like, there's a lot of really good options.
And they don't have any picks, so if they want to get in anybody, they're going to need to sign him in free agency.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I need to move on, because I'm just going to sit here staring into space thinking about what could be now. So Rocky, you want to talk about the next piece of news, since it affects your hat that you're wearing?
Yeah.
My
coach, Doug Peterson, got fired today. I didn't think it was necessarily warranted, but I get it. I mean, the big fantasy takeaway for me is the whole Wentz thing. I was convinced that he was gone, and a big reason for that was that the Peterson-Wentz relationship was just clearly broken, and Wentz was broken, and there was no salvaging it. So with Peterson gone, it makes me think they may be thinking that maybe they're going to keep Wentz and try and bring somebody in to rebuild Wentz. I don't know what that means for Hurts. I still think it does. But I think it's dumb to keep both of them. I don't know that they would go and trade Hurts. A lot of people thought that actually when they drafted them, they were drafting him to trade him. So it may be not the craziest thing in the world. But I just think this is a big plus for anybody who owns Wentz out there. I think they're going to try and keep him. And I definitely think they're going to be bringing in another offensive guy. Since Lurie's took over, Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, took over. Every coach he's had except one, which I think is five or six coaches at this point, has been an offensive guy. So I think it's going to be somebody on the offensive side of the ball, which makes sense with where they're at. I think they were like 31st total offense this year.
So is it going to be Bienemy clone 1, 2, 3, or 4?
Clone 2. No.
There you go. That's
the bad one. Yeah. I mean, that would be the kind of thing that makes sense, that one of these hot names. Now, whether any of them want to come here, I don't know, because we're $70 million over the cap. And, but I would love a Bienemy or a Joe Brady or something like that. That's the other thing, too. I will almost guarantee you that it is one of those kind of guys. Even going back to before Lurie, they haven't hired a retread since like the 80s. So I'll almost guarantee you it's either an assistant or a college guy.
That's a good thing, though.
Yeah, which I agree. I definitely think that's what I'd like to see. So, I think it's up for Wentz and down. I'm curious what this does to Hurts' value, because I definitely think that Hurts, there's a lot better chance that he's going to be the backup next year, I think, unless he gets traded elsewhere. Because I thought it was like 80-20 Wentz was out of there. Now I think it's probably 60-40 he's there.
Oh, wow. Just a turnaround.
Yeah.
Because I'm in, like, we were talking before the show about second chance dispersals and how they're awesome. I'm in the Trade Addicts 5 dispersal, and I took Hurts with like my second or third pick. And then I took another quarterback, and then three or four picks later, I'm like, I'm going to take Derek Carr just because I need another quarterback. And then like 2 hours later, this news comes out, and I'm like, just in case. I mean, Carr isn't the safest quarterback in the world, but he's starting next year, and that's really what I care about.
Better acquire Wentz, right?
Yeah. He's
pairing with Hurts.
Okay. And
I liked Wentz as a buy low kind of guy in the offseason, because I thought I've said all along I thought he was going to be starting somewhere, whether it was with the Eagles or somewhere else. And now I'm worried some other people are going to think like me now, and maybe his price does go up a little, that they think he's definitely going to be a start. I was looking for people who thought, this guy sucks, he's going to be a backup. So I'm not sure people are thinking that way now.
Isn't it wild to think that Wentz was the quarterback one in Dynasty in 2017, just a few short years ago? That's crazy how far he's fallen.
Which is why I don't buy it. He's good if you give him a team
and
a decent offense, which is why I want him out of there. Because his contract sort of needs that Osweiler deal. Like, you need someone to you need to pay someone to take that. And the only team right now that needs a quarterback and has that cap space is the freaking Colts. Like,
Frank Reich.
Wentz on the Colts would be great. But now
it's the connection.
Oh, yeah, Frank Reich.
Can we just talk about how – and I want to hear what Rocky's opinion is, because it seems like you probably pay more attention to the Eagles than most other teams. But I think that Peterson leaving is really good news for Jalen Reagor. A lot of people were super high on Jalen Reagor, his draft. I like the talent, but I hated the team that he landed on. I hated the situation, I should say. I shouldn't say I hate the team, but I do. I'm a Vikings fan, so maybe I do hate the team, but there's some bad blood there from a few years ago. But, I actually tweeted this out. Exactly. There you go. That's what it is. I tweeted this out, a couple months ago, that I thought that Jalen Reagor was a wonderful sell before he returned from his injury, because people were being crazy, being silly with his value at the time. And the Eagles just love that system, loves the target tight ends. That, like, over the last 4 years, 5 years with Wentz and Peterson running the offense, they were either the first ranked team in targeting tight ends or the second ranked team in targeting tight ends. Mm-hmm. And I thought that it would take significant changes for Reagor to be able to bump that narrative, basically. And, like, the significant changes are happening now. So, like, Peterson leaving, Wentz maybe being his best chance, Rieger's best chance at breaking out, potentially coming back. I think this is really good news for him. And I'd be trying to sneak him for people that are doubting him now. So that's one of my favorite current rookie wide receiver buys. So.
Yeah, I agree with you there on his value going up now with this, because like you said, going back to when Reich was there, and Reich has done it in with the Colts too, is the favor of the tight ends, and I think Doug has as well. I mean, part of that's their personnel, but they've since Doug's been there, they haven't really been able to develop any wide receiver. I mean, it's going to depend on who the coach is, but I definitely think that Rager's arrow was pointing up more than it had before. There's some concern that they could pick a receiver at six, which that'll affect Rager's value as well.
Free agency.
Yeah, and then free agency. Well, I don't know what they're getting free agency. They have no money. Yeah, they're $70 million over the cap.
They love their free agents, though, man. Yeah.
But and I know the fan base definitely wants, like, Chase or Devontae Smith at six. I don't know what the team is thinking. But
I feel like they have a lot more needs than that, right?
They need everything. Yeah. You could even say they need a quarterback, but they have two that they don't know what to do with. So they pretty much need everything, though. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't go wide receiver, especially after they picked, you know, two in the first and second round, each of the first two rounds last year. So
you're not a Rager fan?
I am. I'm just, the whole thing here is everybody wanted Justin Jefferson, and he went the pick after Rager. So
that worked out pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah, and we've seen how that worked out. So yeah. But I did like Rager coming into the draft. So I didn't hate it as much as some people, and I don't think, like you said, I don't think he's, you know, a bust at this point just because he didn't have a huge year one. But and I think, like you said, the coaching change can only help. Just because of what we've seen from this coaching staff with young wide receivers in the past.
And our expectation for rookie wide receivers is so unreasonable right now. It's unbelievable. I'm sure you guys probably talk about that, but imagine. So Dynasty is an industry or a niche that's growing pretty quickly at an incredible rate. And imagine all the people that are new to Dynasty that came in and they saw these rookies just explode in 2020. And now they expect this from year to year. So they might, like, we might see a crazy surge in draft pick values in the next couple years. Like, just like we did in 2014, I think, with the OBJ.
Starting to recover from that.
Yes, yes.
Now we're doing it again. Reference the 2014 draft where that happened. And,
yeah.
And this year, I can't remember what podcast it was, but someone mentioned, I can't remember what LaVisca had 58 receptions this year. And no one, I mean, some people like him, but no, he's not near the top of the group of receivers we had. And he would have led the 2019 class in receptions.
Then he's great. And he's getting Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. So
that Visca is actually a guy I'm going after a lot.
Oh, I love it. Oh, yeah. You had to scoop him before Jacksonville got the first overall pick. But
that's why you joined dispersal drafts. I got him in two of them.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. And Chark. Oh, man. Chark's going to be sexy too. Oh, wow.
Trade Addicts 5, I got both of them.
Man.
Okay, wait, no, hold on. This has absolutely nothing to do with fantasy football. Well, a little bit to do with fantasy football because they got us there. So I was talking trades with JP like last week or so for Terry McLaurin. And I think I sent a trade and he's like, I'm not really interested in those guys. And then his DM was, I'm like, take a look at my team. Let me know what you like. And he's like, all right, I'll go take a gander. A gander means a look. I don't want any geese. and I tell this to my wife, and I heard her eyes roll. Like that's how bad it was.
I break the record every day in eye rolls. That's kind of like what my main goal is. So I'm
Early's the king of the pun.
Yeah, that's all I got. I'm a one trick pony.
Okay, so you are Mr. Dynasty Trade Calculator. At least you're the only one here, so I'm going to call you Mr. Dynasty Trade Calculator.
Okay, I'll accept that.
Yeah,
that's it.
So. I was curious about Trevor Lawrence, about the 101 in Superflex leagues, at least. He declared, so I'm assuming he's the 101. I forgot who it was. Corey from the Cool Kids Club said he has seen 8 startups this season so far where Trevor Lawrence or the 101 went in the first round of startup drafts.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, Yeah, I mean, I just, no, he saw 8 drafts, 7 of them Lawrence went in the first. I apologize for that one draft where he didn't go. So that got me really curious about his value. So I went to his Dynasty Trade Calculator, and right now the 101's value is 39.8. At least that's what it was this morning. So what I also did was I pulled up, there's just, if you click on rankings, it gives you a list of all the players in value order. So I want to go down this list, and I want you to, I guess, to tell me where you think you would slot in 101 or Trevor Lawrence. All right, so we have, let's go a couple out because we know in order. This is Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor, Dalvin Cook, DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf or Jonathan Taylor or Trevor Lawrence?
I'll let Rocky go because you're not going to like my answer.
Well, this isn't one QB then, right?
No, this is super flex.
Oh, because there's no quarterbacks in this list.
Don't matter.
Would I rather have DK Metcalf or Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah.
I'm actually going to say Trevor Lawrence.
Is that what you're going to say, JP? Because you said I wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason is because Trevor will continue to rise even beyond the NFL draft and rookie drafts. And the hype is going to be intolerable this summer. And if you don't want to keep Trevor Lawrence on your team, you'll be able to trade him for DK Metcalf and more.
That is a very fair point. But I mean, I sadly also think DK Metcalf is a sell just because I don't think he's the wide receiver one.
That was part of it. He can't. Too, yeah. DK overrated to me. So.
Yeah, and can't. He can't. He can't get enough volume to be a dynasty wide receiver one.
Especially not when they want to establish the run going into 2021.
Establish the run.
Establish the run in 21. Woo-woo. Yep. And then we have
right now. Your wife's rolling her eyes.
Yeah, she doesn't even know what we're talking about, but she's doing it. Tyreek Hill, Saquon Barkley, AJ Brown. Any of that, would you take Trevor Lawrence over?
It's Trevor. It's always Trevor. If I'm taking Trevor over DK Metcalf, I'm taking him over those guys.
I think I am too. Tyreek's closer to me. I have Tyreek over DK, so and Saquon. So just because of what you got, what JP said is just that I think I can move Trevor Lawrence for some ridiculous amount, especially once he's drafted and once he's I own him. Like, it's not the 101. I think Trevor Lawrence will be ridiculous at some point because of the way people value QBs and Superflex.
I don't struggle with Tyreek at all. Did you guys know that he turns 27 in March?
Is it?
And I know that's not. Yeah, and I know that's not like you shouldn't be too spooked by the age 27, but I think that's the point where, you know, wide receivers and players and assets in your team just become a little bit less flexible of assets. I love Izzy for this statement, but he's always pounding the flexibility of roster assets. Tyreek Hill becomes much more difficult to trade when he's 27 and older now. So he's going to produce still. I'm not concerned about his production, but.
His speed doesn't seem to be slowing down at all. Like, I'm fine riding him till he's 29, 30 and wait until that speed.
That's the problem is if mid-season 2021 you decide that you want to flip your team and start rebuilding because you're not winning or you had injuries or whatever the case is, Tyreek Hill, you're not going to get what you want out of Tyreek Hill in a trade, you know, just because of that age. It's looming, you know? So I'm not concerned about him as a player, but I am as an asset.
Okay, so you are correct. I realized I didn't click Superflex when I put up the rankings. So let's just go through quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson. I assume you take them over Trevor Lawrence?
I would.
I would take Trevor Lawrence within that tier.
Justin Herbert?
I take Herbert within that tier also. I think Herbert would be about equal to Trevor Lawrence currently.
I'd go Herbert over Lawrence.
Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott.
You see, I like Lamar than most. I still think that he has done enough, like with his rushing, to maintain some of his value. And I would probably take who are the first four that you said?
Mahomes, so Murray, Allen, Watson.
Like with the question mark surrounding Watson, I wouldn't have a problem with taking many of those quarterbacks we've just talked ahead of him. So like I think I would take Herbert ahead of Watson just because. Who knows what's going to happen with Watson? Maybe he holds out. Like that would be worst case scenario because he didn't get a trade or he wants a trade and he pulls a Melvin Gordon. So I think I would probably take Lamar ahead of Watson. I would take Herbert ahead of Watson and Trevor ahead of Watson for that reason. Watson's become a little bit volatile.
Yeah, I mean, there's two games, without a doubt, every single season Deshaun Watson disappears for. And there's no real reason behind that game, him disappearing. He just sort of does.
Yeah.
Okay, so the one last quarterback they have above the 101's value is Russell Wilson.
That's easy. Yeah.
Do you think anyone values Russell Wilson over the 101 right now?
They shouldn't. They shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah. Especially establish the run in 21.
If they do and they're in a league with me and I have Russell Wilson and they have the 101, please call me. I will give my number out.
Russ, stop cooking.
I don't even own any Russell Wilson because I know better. and
then, like, maybe to Rocky's point about Carson Wentz and, like, buy, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, like, you sound like an opportunist, you know, like, you like to buy people when their values are low. Russell Wilson's value will probably never be this low again, you know, until he's ready to hang him up. So, like, maybe everybody's hating on him, but, like, when there's a lot of hate being thrown around, I always look around to see if it's a buying opportunity. So I'd probably buy Russ.
Week 13. Aw, thanks.
101.
Week 13, every single season it gets this low because that's when it falls away, just disappears. So that's it for above Trevor Lawrence. The two quarterbacks below him at the closest value are Aaron Rodgers and Tua.
Yeah, no.
Neither of them are close to Lawrence, right?
No.
Yeah. So let's transition this into a Trade Addicts trade. Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team Superflex, PPR, tight end premium, where it's 1.75 points for tight end reception, and 0.05 points for return yardage. Let's go straight to Trade Addicts 8, where there was a trade of Joe Burrow and the 105 for the 101. Now, what do you think of that, JP?
Oh, I don't love it. I don't love it for either side. It's one of those ones where I don't feel good. I wouldn't feel good about giving the 101 for that, and I wouldn't feel good about giving up Burrow and 101. I don't like either side of it, to be honest. But if I'm gun to my head and forced to pick, I'd probably do Burrow in the 105 in a super flex league.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I can get Burrow should be, you know, like always a tier below what Trevor Lawrence's ceiling is, as long as Trevor Lawrence's can meet his potential.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the 105 as extra gravy, but again, I don't love it. I wouldn't do it.
What about you, Rock?
I'd be fine. I like the Burrow 105. I love this too, because if Kane Fasel did this trade and he announced he was going to offer this trade on his podcast earlier this week. So, and he got somebody to take it, but yeah, I mean, Burrow was what, a QB 14 in 4-point passing TD leagues before he got hurt. As a rookie, I agree. His upside is not as high as Trevor Lawrence. He's probably going to max out as a low to mid QB1. But
can't be mad about that, man.
Yeah, exactly. But I definitely think he will reach that. And I've talked about this many times before. I'm a guy. I know we all, you know, Trevor Lawrence is God and he's the best quarterback prospect in the history of the universe. But I still like guys where I've seen it, and I've already seen enough from Burrow on the NFL level that I think he's going to reach what we all thought that he would, and he did that to some extent already. So, and getting the one, obviously getting the 105 on top of it, that's the kind of move I like to make. Especially you're still getting, I mean, it's not even one of these low end QBs that I like to go for, like Ben Roethlisberger or Carson Wentz. This is a guy who could definitely be settled into that QB 6-10 range for the next 8-10 years. So getting the 105 on top of that without even knowing for sure what Lawrence is going to be, I'm fine with that.
Okay, Rocky, you've made me feel better about the 105, the package side. So thank you. Okay. I don't feel as bad about it.
I'm glad.
Yeah, see, I'm the kind of player that I don't really like paying up for things. so yeah, I value, like, I got value-wise, this is what you have to do, right, to get Trevor Lawrence. And last year, Burrow was going, what, the third round? Like, where would Burrow be going right now in a startup? Probably still the third round, the end of the second, middle third, like that tier, sort of. You should have to pay a mid-first to get up to the end of the first from that. So, I mean, to me, value-wise, this makes perfect sense. Would I do it? I mean, let's face it. Yeah, probably just because I have enough leagues where there's going to be one where I'm like, screw it. I want Trevor Lawrence. F it. Let's do it. F it. Throw in the 105 and I'll do it.
Well, that's what Kane said. He loves Trevor Lawrence so much. He actually said on the – I don't know if either of you guys have heard of it yet, but he said – yeah, he said he would do Burrow 105 and Robert Woods for Trevor Lawrence because he believed in Trevor Lawrence that much. Yeah, but he didn't have to because the guy accepted the trade as is. But he wants as much Lawrence as he can get. So he's basically – it's get your guy.
Yeah. Well, and Rocky, I think while you were breaking down the trade, the way you made me feel better about it is I thought about what you said about Herbert and how you probably have Herbert either equal or above Trevor Lawrence. I think you said above Trevor Lawrence at this point, right?
Yes.
And if you remember mid-season, people were having a difficult time, even while Herbert was exploding mid towards the end of the season, people were having a hard time deciding whether they valued Herbert or Burrow higher.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably no doubt that Burrow's going to regain most of that value or that perceived value that he's got. So if he's about equal to Herbert and you've got Herbert above Trevor, you know, like I think it's pretty easy. You know, I think that those two assets could become pretty close, much closer than the 105. So,
yeah.
Well, not to mention when you draft like Zach Wilson at the, Kyle Trask isn't going to go that high. What the hell? Trey Lance at the 105. Yeah. You're going to get the next Justin Herbert anyway. That's how you do it, right?
When you slot a name in for that pick, it changes. Like it becomes more real. Like a Jamar Chase or something that falls 105. Like you're sitting pretty good in a super flex league. So
yeah, but seriously, but that feeling of having Trevor Lawrence on your team, like tingles. Like yeah, it's something I would, something you have to pay. Something you, if you want Trevor Lawrence, you should pay.
That's so true. Even like with me, I'm the guy who's going to trade down at quarterback. And that's what I just said here with the Lawrence and Burrow thing. But I have two leagues where I have the 101 and you're going to have to probably pry it from my cold, dead hands. Cause I do want a couple shares of Lawrence as well. Yep. Even as a guy who tends to poo poo on the value of quarterbacks and super flex. I want to get a couple shares.
I have two so far. I have TA7 and TA2.
No. I think I completely missed, but I might have to make some moves. I know what it takes. I know what it costs.
Come
it's
at
unfortunate.
Me, bro.
That's true. You have it in our league. TA7.
Okay. Yep. So we only have two more Trade Addicts trades because it is kind of time for trades. Trade Addicts 2, there was a 22-second for Drew Lock. This was, like, I saw this and I'm like, oh. I guess like you're not that okay. That seems like little even for Drew Lock. Like, do you guys like Rocky's already nodding ahead? Yes. Like JP, do you think Drew Lock starting in Denver next year?
It's so muddy right now. I don't like the prospect of him coming back. It doesn't look good. And especially with, there's a couple of free agent quarterbacks. There's a handful of good rookie quarterbacks. There's guys who want trades. There's cap casualties that could happen with the cap shrinking this year. I think this is going to be a really interesting year offseason with the cap casualties because of the rumored cap shrink, happening. Yeah. And I just think it's going to have, once again, a lot of ripple effects. I'm scared about Drew Lock. However, the 2022 second is pretty
nothing.
it's a good risk reward trade right there, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree with what JP said. That's why it was not in my head. I don't have super confidence that Drew Lock is definitely a starter either, but a 22 second is like anything beyond the current year's draft, I devalue pretty heavily. So like we always say, you can get that back, especially if it's not a first. I can get a 22 second back like no problem. So if I could potentially have a starting quarterback and maybe he's better next year, you know, whatever. It's like you said, it's whatever.
Yeah. I don't know if we ever even mentioned on the show, John Elway stepped down as GM, so there's nothing keeping Drew Lock in that position.
Well, except Elway, I think he's coming back to the field, actually.
Right, so he's going to put Drew Lock as the backup.
Yeah, if you can't, if you can't have somebody do it, just do it yourself, right?
Yeah. He'd still probably be like a top 15 quarterback.
I'd give a 2020 second for him.
Yeah,
there you go.
F it.
Yeah, F it. Yeah, right? our last trade is from Trade Addict 7. It is Clyde Edwards-Helaire and a 22 second for J.K. Dobbins, the 406 and a 22 fourth.
The 106?
Four.
406, okay.
Yeah, it's easily C. I mean, Dobbins for me. I've always been on the CEH, just overhyped, overrated train. So I love Dobbins. So, and he started to earn my love a little more in the second half of the season. So the 22nd, again, is whatever. So it's basically, to me, Dobbins for CEH, and I'm taking Dobbins all day.
JP?
Oh, this was Riley's trade, right?
Yeah.
Riley Biomaster. Him and I were actually having a conversation about this trade. It was very interesting. I got to see the inside perspective. I love how Riley operates in trades. He gets his guys. He's one of those people that, you know, is not afraid to throw assets to get his guys. But I told him I liked the CEH side on this one. Cause he's doing like Riley is the host of Dynasty Wall Street, which kind of evaluates, you know, when to buy high or, you know, sell high and buy low. Mm-hmm. And he kind of did it in reverse right there. You know, he bought Dobbins super high and he sold Clyde Edwards super, super low. But, like I said, Riley is a guy who knows his stuff and, you know, he goes to get his guys. So like, I'm with Rocky. I like Clyde and then throw in the second for juice. And I acknowledge that Dobbins' value is higher than Clyde's right now, but that second makes me feel a lot better about that offer and that trade. So
I talked to Bobby Koch about this, who was the other side.
we were like the devils and the angels on their shoulders during this trade.
Well, I mean, this was after the trade because the trade went through and I went into the chat and I typed boo and Bobby was like, why boo? And I'm like, because if I knew you were going to give up Dobbins, I would have come much harder at him.
Right.
But he's like, look, I have CEH and Dobbins pretty evenly. He offered me a second on top. I'm like, all right, if they're the same, I might as well take the second. Okay, so going into the rookie drafts, I should say, I always had Jonathan Taylor as my running back one. CEH was my two, and then Dobbins as my three. And I always said, he's not the best, but Dobbins is my favorite. Like, he was my favorite running back coming in, even though I completely understood that he wasn't the most talented at anything, and those two guys were going to be worth more. So I guess at this point I kind of agree with Dobbins showing up a little more at the end and getting that workload, because it just felt like he's never going to be the guy in Baltimore. They don't want a the guy in Baltimore, which kind of sucks a little bit. But now we see that they don't want a guy in Kansas City either, and neither team throws to the running back. So
yeah, weird.
At that point, I would just take Dobbins over CEH because I like him better anyway and their value's close enough. So if I'm going on value alone, I agree with Bobby. They're the same. I might as well take the second on top. But my heart wants Dobbins more. So yeah. I guess this is just a good trade, right? You know, everybody kind of got who they wanted. Bobby got the value he wanted. Riley got the player he wanted. So worked out for everybody.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Dobbins side, I agree with you in the sense that I think Dobbins is the better talent. So I would rather have the Dobbins side, given that I agree that they probably are going to have similar workloads because KC doesn't. I know, you know, CEH had a couple games where he had 20 plus carries, but I don't think you're going to see that very often.
Damien Williams is coming back. That's exactly what scared us before, right? We were scared of Damien Williams last year. He's going to be there now.
Damien Williams left. It boosted him up to 105. Now he's back. So I don't know what that does.
Okay,
so I want to look up Damian Williams' contract because I'm wondering if he really is back. I know he's coming back from injury, but is he coming back to the Chiefs?
No, he held out. So that,
he
this
opted out for COVID. Down. Yeah.
Okay, so that just extends. Okay.
Yeah.
So whatever his contract already was, it just
pushes it
over. Yeah.
And now I'm curious to see if Spotrac has updated that accordingly, based on COVID rules. Yeah, there it is. Completely extended, signed through 2021. Only $1.85 million. So
he's not going anywhere.
That's not going to be a cap casualty, yeah.
CEH is a bust. I'll call it. We're calling it now, right?
There you go.
Okay, so we have one more listener question from this guy you might know, at @DTC_John Mosier. What preseason trades did you make that had the biggest value swings by season's end? Now, Rocky purposely DM'd me before we started recording. He's like, hey, are we doing that question? Because I think I might need to think about it. So, Rocky, did you think about it?
Yeah, I actually came up with two that are one good for me, one bad. One was a TA3, actually. I couldn't find any. There were wild value swings on both sides, but over the summer I traded Jerry Jeudy because I thought I was a contending team, which it turned out I totally was not. But I traded Jerry Jeudy for Leonard Fournette in a third.
Yeah,
and this was this was in June or July, so that was a wild value swing. So, yeah, Leonard Fournette may be worth a third or third at this point. So, but I thought I was getting a workhorse running back. And the other one that worked in my favor is this one was literally like just before the season in a points per carry league to defend the other guy. He gave me Gurley, or he wanted Gurley and Galladay, and I did that for Davante Adams and James White. So that one worked out for me.
Oh, I mean, I don't care if it's points per carry. I just want Davante Adams on my team.
Yeah, but I mean, Gurley and Galladay both have been gone way. I mean, Galladay hasn't gone way down, but Gurley has certainly gone way down.
He's pretty much done.
In August, September, he was still, you know, you thought you were getting an RB1-ish kind of season.
For the year, at least, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I was way too lazy to go find actual trades. So I thought, I thought of players. I don't remember if we were recording when I talked about it or if it was just talking before, but Calvin Ridley was one of my guys that, well, I should say he's my mans. If you go on Dynasty Trade Calculator, type in Calvin Ridley, you'll see Adhouse's mans. When you were buying him before the season started, you were getting him at 6th, 7th, if you're lucky, an 8th round startup value. And then right before the season started, he jumped up to like 4th round. And then the season started, and he was the wide receiver one for a couple of weeks. Like, so to me, that was one of the bigger guys. And then I bought a bunch of DK Metcalf right before the season started. So that worked out pretty well, value-wise, though I'm going to try and get rid of at least one or two of them now. I still love DK Metcalf as a player, and he's going to be great as a fantasy asset, but I was never behind the idea of him as wide receiver one. I can't do it.
Yeah, and I will say, too, my boy Deontay, he got some hype in the offseason, but he was still going pretty late in startups, and I think he's definitely risen. I got him every – he's like my most owned player. So I think he's had a pretty good value swing as well with what he did this season.
Anything coming to your mind, JP?
Yeah, I have a few of them, and I was trying to look up the actual details of them just so I could be accurate with them, but – a couple of maybe I can cheat and say a couple that I had from last year.
Yeah, sure, go for it, man. We don't really care about accuracy on this show.
Okay, there we go. And this is fun just because you get to look at the trade in with so much time removed, and you get to evaluate it with diamond eyes, basically hindsight. It's super fun to kind of like take a look to see what happened with each of these, mm-hmm. Especially when there's picks involved, because then you get to see which players were taken with those picks. Blah blah blah. So September 5th. Before the season began, 2019, I gave away Antonio Brown. I was concerned about him. This is when he was like kind of on again, off again, but now he's finally back and he's going to be all right. We're good. I traded him for a random 2020 first, and Antonio Brown's demise helped to spell the demise of this team that I acquired him from, this pick from, and it ended up being the 101.
No.
And with the 101, this is a single quarterback league. I took Jonathan Taylor, and obviously the rest is history, Jonathan Taylor. So, like, in hindsight, Jonathan Taylor for Antonio Brown. And, you know, Antonio Brown's regained some of his lost value, but not that much, exactly. So that was one of my favorite ones. And then I'm trying to find it, but preseason this year, people felt indifferent about Stephon Diggs landing in Buffalo.
I was one of them.
I liked it. I couldn't explain why, just because of how much they gave up for him, and being a Minnesota Vikings fan, being on the inside, seeing Stephon Diggs being a diva about not getting targets. I'm like, there is zero chance that Stephon Diggs is going to Buffalo and they're not going to target him a lot, because he's going to get pissed and, you know, have his same shenanigans. So like, they're going to pepper him. And I gave somebody who didn't believe, I gave Raheem Mostert for Stephon Diggs.
Okay. I would pay Raheem Mostert for Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, and it ended up being super easy for me, and he helped propel me into the playoffs pretty easily, because it was just I didn't expect him to do as good as he did. So I will admit to that, but it was a delightful surprise. So
yeah, like targets, I should say, weren't really in question for me. He was also upset about the quality of the targets he was getting from Kirk Cousins. and then you're like, oh, now he's going to Josh Allen.
Not exactly an upgrade there, yeah.
Seems like it was, though.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like, what did he end up with, like 140 targets or something? It was crazy.
He top 10 dynasty wide receiver, you think? Do you think he finally made it?
I think he did. Yeah, he'll peak around that. I mean, he'll be a. I can't even say that he'll be a good sell because I don't see any signs of him not continuing the status. But definitely will peak in the top 10 now, easily.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe he's a buy because I don't think anyone's going to value him that high. Like if you go to someone and you offer something like wide receiver 12 in value for him. And so I was like, nah, that seems a little low. I'm like, what? You really think Stephon Diggs is a top 10 dynasty wide receiver? And you're like, yeah, it's Diggs, right? He doesn't seem like that. Okay, so here we go. Let's do this.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, I'm going to go do that now before I release this. That's a good idea.
Do you have any? I'm curious to see if you have. You said you have players, not instead of trades that you are after, right?
Yeah.
How many leagues are you in, by the way?
27. Well, I was in 27. I dropped a few. Yeah,
there are going to be a lot of orphans this year, by the way. One of recourses of the pandemic is going to be just like a record setting amount of orphans. I can't imagine how many Twitter tweets about orphans we're going to be inundated, you know.
No league I have dropped so far did it start this past year, though. I will say that none of the leagues I'm dropping are COVID babies.
Okay, so there are ones you were in before the season. Okay,
yes. So I'm dropping it because I don't like them, not because I have too many going on. Well,
I'm the same way too, though. And I think another one of the things that caused, and maybe you can corroborate this too, but I think one of the reasons that caused people to leave leagues is that the season ended up being kind of it was very grueling with the COVID lineup,
yep,
like kind of thing happening. So I think people had a little bit less fun in all their leagues than they would normally have. So like they're just like, yep, I have to cut. This is too much. So I think that's part of it too. There's a lot of different implications involved, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree because it did. A lot of parts of this year were less fun, especially in the beginning where, you know, the Titans kept getting moved around every single week and the Steelers kept getting screwed over and all of this. And they're just like, oh, really? A Wednesday game? Seriously? Yeah. It really did sort of drain a little bit of the fun out of it. And I could definitely see, especially if that screwed up your season, especially, or like if you were like me and traded for Jarvis Landry hours before he got, you know, diagnosed with COVID and was out for week 14. I could see things being a little less fun. So yeah, I 100% agree that is absolutely going to be the cause of a couple of dropped leagues.
Yeah. And it's bad. I feel bad about complaining about it because I feel like we were blessed by having a season at all, yes, altogether, because 100%. Like I was one of the people that felt like it was 50-50, a coin flip, whether or not, yep, we were going to have one.
I was
and like, we were very fortunate for it to happen. And I feel guilty about complaining, but man, it was a brute. It was an absolute brute setting lineups like 5, 6, 7 times in a week. You know, like there were games on every day and, yeah, it was always moving. The IR function in most of these leagues, yeah, was very difficult for commissioners and, oh, just, yes, all around. It was tough.
That's, yes, I had to do many IR adjustments as, yeah, a commissioner.
Yeah, how many league message posts about, okay, guys, please put your reserve players in for, you know, in case this game doesn't happen. Luckily, that really never happened. Well, it did, I guess, for 1 week, but. Was it Cardinals? I thought one game, like their bye week was changed to week 13 or something weird.
Well, their bye week got changed, but it was still before the game started. So it's not
okay,
like,
you had, yeah, it wasn't like you needed the backup player.
We had to do like 3 or 4 weeks on the message board. Okay, put your replacements, yeah, in here. But we've never actually had to take advantage of that. We never had to actually do anything with it.
Nice. Yeah, but as a player, as a commissioner, it was just a less fun season than most. So it was, I felt compelled to, I don't think I want to be on any other fantasy. I want to have all my leagues on one platform instead of bouncing around all over the place. I just don't like that.
It's funny you say anymore. That was a big reason for a lot of the leagues I cut this offseason, is I tried to get rid of all my sleeper. I had one flea flicker league. I got rid of all but one sleeper league. And the main reason I'm staying in that is I like some of the people, and it's run by Josh from the Fantasy Timeline. So yeah, that's the only one left, and everything else is on MFL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same. We were in a, have you guys ever heard of Scout? They're kind of like a high dollar, high stakes dynasty platform, and they have their own, it's their own leagues. And it's not bad, but it's not as refined as some of those other ones. And it's just like, I can't do, you know, different settings, and it's a whole different, it's almost like a different language you have to learn, being on different platforms. And I just don't enjoy that aspect anymore. So I'm done with some of those. So
no, yeah, I did that. I went through that last year. So this year, all of my dynasty leagues are on MFL, and that's it. So I love the idea, because, you know, I have on my menu bar on Chrome, a fantasy football folder. So I click that, go to the first one, submit lineups. Like, there's an order to the buttons, and same. I know what I have to do every single time. It's not like, oh, wait, no, this is a sleeper one. Let me go over here. Flea Flicker. Yes. Wait, no. Oh, I have to go over here.
Sleeper, Rocky will tell you, Sleeper is an app. So, like, you can't even have it on a tab, right? You have to go on your phone. Like, you have no choice. It's an app.
No, it's on the computer. It's awful.
Someone, I think Russ told me how to get to it on the, I didn't even know you could. He told me that it was a pain to use on the computer. It's a lot easier to use on the app, but I still prefer MFL.
Yeah, I am Mr. Do What Makes You Happy, but man, Sleeper does not make me happy. So I have no interest in doing that.
And I acknowledge it's probably a wonderful platform. It's like cutting edge, new age, but I just don't want it because it's different.
And yeah, absolutely. Old man screaming at the clouds. Like, it's not really meant for us. That's the real thing.
Sleeper is Juju dancing on a midfield logo.
I guess so.
That should be their
tagline. They literally have Mascots dancing on a field. Right now.
There you go. That's what Sleeper. It is. Yeah. It's like, you know how the NBA has the silhouette of Jerry West as their logo? Sleeper should have Juju dancing on a logo in the midfield as their logo. So there we go. You're welcome, Sleeper. F it.
F it, let's do it. Yeah, they listen to the show, so they're going to do it.
I mean, they tune in every week.
Of course, yeah. Okay, so before we wrap up, I want to take this question and sort of push it forward. Who are the guys you are going to go for right now that you think are going to have a big value swing going through next year? Since I just sprung this on you out of nowhere, I'm going to go first. And we sort of answered it a little bit already. I want Chark and LaVisca, because no one's really giving them this bump that they're getting Trevor Lawrence, and the same goes for Mims. Like, they're getting Justin Fields, assuming the Jets are the dumbest thing in the world, but it's the Jets. So like, these guys deserve value bumps for the huge upgrade in quarterback, and the fact that they're both probably getting offensive minded head coaches because of the quarterbacks that they're getting. So I think these wide receivers need a bump, and I am willing to pay real price now for them, because I firmly believe, even if it's just when the rookie drafts come and you see Trevor Lawrence, you know, JAX next to it. Oh yeah, DJ Chark has JAX next to his name too. They're going to throw they're going to play catch. That's going to go well. So I think those two guys are huge buys for me right now. Like, I try and find one person going into the offseason that's going to be like my guy to go by. And I really think it's going to be Visca this year.
I love it. And I kind of feel like mine were pretty well vetted throughout the course of your podcast. But just to recap, maybe I'll do I'll use this opportunity to recap some of my favorite buys, just to kind of put them all in a nice little tight bundle together. Jalen Reagor, I love as a buy. Mm-hmm. And it's for, you know, the removal of Doug Peterson and the potential of maybe moving back away from Jalen Hurts. I love Jalen Hurts. I think he's going to be a great NFL quarterback. But for my Reagor shares, I would prefer to have Wentz throwing to him or somebody else altogether. But I think that scenario is more likely without Doug Peterson, him getting targets. Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, favorite old crusty veteran quarterbacks who are yelling at the clouds to buy. Dirt cheap, finish the seasons on a relatively sour note in some cases. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I don't think I announced this as a buy officially, but throughout the course of discussing that trade and breaking it down, Riley's trade with Dobbins and Clyde Edwards, I think Clyde Edwards is a wonderful buy, and people just don't feel as good about him. I don't think his value is super low right now, but he's a lot more attainable in trades for even market value at least.
So just three firsts, not three firsts, Kittle, and I forgot who else.
You got it. Exactly. Three firsts, Kittle and Cortland.
Yeah, there you go.
Sutton could be another one. Actually, the Denver Broncos would be a great team filled with players that I might consider buying because of Drew Lock and the question marks surrounding the offense and John Elway stepping down, blah, blah, blah. I think they address that quarterback position, and you'll see a pretty much instant spike in all those receivers and tight ends. Noah Fant, great buy. I don't know if you feel good about Albert O, but Fant's the guy, obviously. But great opportunity to buy Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy. That's pretty easy all around. And my extra credit bonus answer for favorite buys is one that Izzy vetted out on the podcast. I didn't necessarily see it right away, but now I kind of understand it. Another one of the top end free agent wide receivers, Chris Godwin, is a very sneaky buy right now on the top side. He could probably recoup most of his value that he's lost over the course of the last year or 2 years with the advent of other wide receivers on the team, namely Mike Evans. But Godwin could be a really good one to consider picking up. So,
yeah, I traded for Godwin right before I joined a dispersal and did not get him back.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you guys took most of the young, sexy names. So I was trying to think of a couple guys here. Both of them are a little more veteran. One I was looking at was Curtis Samuel. I like. He came out a lot in the second half of the year. He's going to be a free agent, could go somewhere where he gets more. If he signs anywhere else, he's probably going to get a value bump, if not a production bump, just because he's going to probably have a bigger role on that team or seeming to have one. And the other one, which is totally unsexy, that I like as a buy, more for a contender for the actual production than a huge value, probably is Zeke. I just think he's going to. I know you, especially you, Russ, don't like to buy running backs and old running backs at that. But but I just think he's going to produce again with Dak. And I think that Dak is going to be back. And I just think people are hating on him big time right now. I think in the last time we looked at the ADP, he was going in like the mid third round of Superflex. So if that's the case, I like buying him there. And I think you could even buy him with the idea of selling him when he starts producing with Dak, even if you don't want to get him just for the production. So, again, that's not a sexy one, but I do think he's going to be the first five games this year. He averaged like 20 some points a game with Dak. And then everyone said he doesn't look as good. He doesn't have the burst, but I just think it's like very coincidental. This all happened when he suddenly lost Dak. So, I think you're still going to get one good year out of Zeke, and you can use that either to buy him now and sell him for more later, or just ride him to hopefully help you get a title next year.
I forgot who I was talking to. Someone DM'd me and was asking me, you know, he was in the middle of a startup and he's asking me to rank a couple of players, and Zeke was one of them. And he was in the second or third round, and I kind of put Zeke a little lower on the list. And he's like, all right, so what about this group of people? And I'm like, wait, what round are you in? He's like, the fourth. And I'm like, take Zeke. That's ridiculous. Zeke was still around in the fourth. Like, even if he's not close to what he used to be, that's the fourth round for Zeke freaking Elliott. He's going to be good enough to repay that value at least.
Yes. I mean, I think even with, if you factor in the whole season, I think he was still like RB10. Yeah. So,
and also all of the QB craziness that happened in the random high scoring games, Dak Prescott had at least with the trade addict scoring, had the highest QB score for a single game in the entire season.
Impressive.
He's so good. He's so very good.
It's funny. So, Dak does bad without Zeke, and Zeke does bad without Dak.
Yep, I noticed that as well. The interesting thing with Zeke for me, though, is that visually, Tony Pollard just looked better. I don't understand why. Like, if Zeke just didn't look like he didn't care, or you know, he wasn't motivated. I don't like the idea or the notion of the idea of hoping that Zeke suddenly cares next year. he got his big contract, and he might be happy. I also don't like the idea that the vaccination for COVID-19 is coming out this spring and Zeke can now go out to the bars again. I don't like the idea of that during the off season. So for me, even fourth round is a little bit understandable for me, but like, he is what I would consider a toxic asset, and I'm kind of avoiding him wherever possible.
Yeah, I could definitely see. I mean, like, Har forever wanted nothing to do with Zeke because he is very risk averse. Like, he doesn't go near Tyree, Kareem Hunt, Zeke, Elliott. Like, he doesn't go near any of them. So even like now, I think
even fourth round, you still don't want to put that risk on your team, because wasting a fourth round pick is still a decent deal. You know, if that completely just, he decides to go to whatever the hell he did before last year, and like he like chest bumped some security guard at a music festival or something. And
That's what I'm saying, man. These off the feels like I had this idea. I don't know if you guys often do this, but sometimes I'm sitting in the shower or something, and it's like something will
you
hit me
in
like
the shower?
Oh. Yeah, exactly. Sometimes I lay down like when I'm crying, but and it's usually because of the giving up Kyler Murray trade with Russ that I cry about. I've had like three or four good shower cries after that trade. Like I'm just sitting around, like I'm on the treadmill or I'm in the shower, like whatever, like my mind's wandering and like, I have this idea and it's like, I'm going to try it. So then I sit down and like, oftentimes it doesn't come out the way that I thought about it. But, I had this idea, a couple days ago where I wanted to make like a new report, you know, like just for myself, because I'm selfish, which coincidentally is how the calculator started. Izzy and I just wanted, like, we always got in fights. I'm not even to call them debates. They were fights, you know, like we were fighting each other. And it's like, how do you value this guy? How do you value this guy? And we would fight about trades and like, this guy got ripped off. No, he didn't. It was a fair trade. And that guy got ripped off, whatever. So we made ourselves like an Excel trade calculator to settle our fights, you know, and it just kind of turned into something more. But similarly, a couple days ago, I had this idea. I want to make this report to kind of like benefit myself in my game, just to kind of look at things quantitatively, because I'm a very, I would say like literal person. I like to look at the, you know, the data on a player, along with watching its film. But so I want to make this thing to identify like how toxic of an asset is, a player is. And I'm going to call it like the toxic report, and they're going to have like the toxicity level and stuff. And it's going to factor in like, it's going to be like a weighted system, but some of the data points are going to be like age, off the field concern, injury risk. And by the way, if you guys don't use, I think it's called injurypredictor.com. It's such a fun, nerdy, cool website. It puts like a percentage of injury risk on each player for the upcoming 2021 season. I love it. I geek out about it. So it would have injury concern. It would have like team situation, draft capital. I'm trying to get like way too many data points and then do like a 1-5 weighted scoring system to determine how toxic an asset is. And I think Zeke would be a wonderful case study. I think he would be one of the highest rated toxicity levels that you could possibly get on a dynasty asset. So
I'm just thinking of like the fun visuals you could do, like you type in Zeke Elliott and all of a sudden you're just like
exactly like what's the mini TV miniseries on HBO that just happened about the nuclear explosion in Russia or whatever?
Chernobyl.
Thank you. Chernobyl. Oh, just a brain fart there. I can just see like the Chernobyl lights going off and Zeke is melting because of his toxicity level.
And I get what you're saying about Zeke, but like I said, I just feel like maybe he didn't show this. Even if he didn't care when Dak was there, he was still scoring. His lowest point total was 17.8 while Dak was there. I don't think he's washed up yet at 26. He's going to get to that point where he's going to fall off a cliff like most running backs do. I just don't think it's happening yet.
Oh crap. Well, on that note, that's the end of our show sheet. So that's the end of our show. So before we get out of here again, JP, thank you for coming on. It has been awesome. It has been fun. Why don't you tell all the wonderful fine people who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Follow me on Twitter at FFHercules, spelled with an H-U-R. The main Dynasty Trade Calculator handle is at FFDynastyTrades. Please check out our website, www.dynastytradecalculator.com, for all your trades. And we got the most cutting-edge ranking system of all time. Like Russ mentioned earlier in the podcast, the rankings are determined by the calculator value. So it's not somebody sitting behind a rankings pushing things. They're updated instantly, and they're customizable with over 800 different league scoring and setting combinations. DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Yes, I have always been a fan of Dynasty Trade Calculator. And if you're one of those people that is like, oh, calculators are for noobs or stuff like that, stop it. Seriously.
Stop it.
Yeah, just
stop. You sound like Peter Griffin right there. Yeah. Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it.
It is information. Information is helpful. And they put it in a very easy to use, and with the amount of blanking on the word, the details you can put into the specifics of your league, you can get very close to what the value of a player should be in your league. And that is awesome. So,
and who knows, maybe pretty soon it'll have Russ's commentation as a result of any trade that you've entered in, saying whether he likes it or dislikes it. So maybe coming soon.
Yeah.
Read it on.
You do a terrible trade and it's just like, Adams is glad you're happy.
It's like nonstop F-bombs on a bad trade.
I would pay extra for the explicit version of Dynasty Trade Calculator. Oh, it's happening. Okay, well, my spiel is, what is my spiel? Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can hear all of these F-bombs that my microphone magically puts in on its own that I don't say out loud. You can watch us record and see JP's bars open sign blinking back and forth this entire frickin' show that I've been staring at the entire time. And the worst part is, on StreamYard, there's the main screen with everything, and then on the person who's running it, you see each individual square on the bottom in case I want to kick someone out or mute someone. So I see it twice on my screen.
And oh boy.
Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
And you thought the entire episode to kick me out, didn't you?
Yes, not going to lie. I was trying to be nice, like, no, I should be the good, gracious host, but no, I've been trying to get you the hell out of here this whole time. Also, we have ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com, where you can go and buy merch for maybe 30,000 podcasts at this point. We just added the Dynasty Vipers and FF Intervention. So many t-shirts, stickers, mugs, things. And the awesome thing is every penny that comes in from that goes to charity, assuming Rocky picked a charity for it to go to.
I did pick one this week. I did remember. It's the Asperger's Autism Network. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on a pod before, but I actually do have a son who has Asperger's, is on the autism spectrum. He's 18 now. He's very high functioning, thankfully, but that's, I think, due in large part to the fact that we got him diagnosed very early, at like 2 years old, got a lot of therapy when he was young. And that's kind of what this charity does, is they give information, support, connect you with people, things like that. So it's a cause that's close to my heart. And that's the one I went with for our next 2 months, I guess.
I don't know if we've talked about this, but I also have a son who is on the spectrum.
Yeah, I don't think we have. I did not know that.
He is only seven. He got diagnosed when he was four, I think. And he's been in, you know, occupational therapy and all of that stuff for this entire time. So, yeah. No, that's
that when he was younger. He's pretty much self-sufficient now. But, yeah, there was a lot of that.
Yeah. So, there you go. Awesome cause for the both of us. Every penny that comes in from that will go to Asperger's. What was it? Asperger's
Autism Network is the name.
Oh, that was easy enough. I don't know how I can remember that. Oh, and I guess wrap it up by saying, please subscribe to the DLF Family Podcast or the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network so you could listen to not only our show, but many, many, many other fantastic podcasts. And I don't know. I feel like I'm supposed to say more stuff. I just don't care anymore. Night, everybody.
Night, Russ.
Love you.
Oh, wait. We need a bye.